Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a huge contrast in today's readings between growth and corruption, between a parable, a story showing that growth, and a prophetic oath, a parable in action, we could say, by gesture, that showed that corruption. It's important for us to grasp both of these contrasts so that in the middle of day-to-day life, we might be able to emphasize that growth rather than cooperate with that diabolical corruption. First, growth. Jesus gives us 2 parables about the kingdom, comparing it first to a mustard seed and then to a little bit of yeast, meant to symbolize that the kingdom of God starts small, the growth happens in a seemingly miraculous way, that just something so tiny is able to produce something big, that one person's faith is able to create space for a multitude of birds to come and rest in its branches. A tiny touch, pinch of a Christian on a street, or in a neighborhood, or in a school, or in a workplace, or in a parish, is able to lift up the faith of so many. We see this played out, for example, in Mary's yes to change the history of the world. We see it in what happened with the apostles on Pentecost. They went out and they again transformed the whole world. We've seen it happen in the lives of so many religious orders. Just something starts with the founder and then the original members, and then all of a sudden it expands throughout the globe. We see it in parishes, we see it in countries. The kingdom grows when we cooperate with the king. It's got this intrinsic vector, directionality, always to grow. And in a time in which we live our faith in an area of macroscopic contraction, in which we're, for example, closing churches, in which some corruption is seen, it's really important for us never to forget this lesson, that our yes made each day is going to produce great, not just a tiny little itty-bitty growth, but great growth, because it's got that intrinsic power. And some of the times, I think, in God's plan, the reason why he allows that contraction, doesn't want it, but permits it, it's because it gives us in every age an opportunity to be able to witness these parables in action anew. But there's a contrast. It's a contrast that he has the prophet Jeremiah announce to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. It was done in this prophetic oath, this communicative gesture. He had him buy a linen loincloth. Linen, I'm sure, as you know, probably even better than I, comes from flax. It's very difficult to make linen clothing, but linen fabrics are very cool and they're very durable. They should be. And so the priestly garments were always made out of linen, not cotton or something else. So God had Jeremiah take this priestly fabric, make some underwear out of it, wear the underwear for a while, to show how intimate the relationship was between God and his people, that God had made himself essentially vulnerable. And then he had him put it in a cleft of a rock near some soil, and then after a length of time go back, and the linen was totally corroded. What was the showing? That even though God had made the Jews to be a priestly people, many of them had taken this relationship for granted, taken that mission for granted, and they began to be corroded individually and as a people. That was what God wanted the message to be. Thus says the Lord, so I will allow the pride of Judah to rot. Great pride, that is Jerusalem. How does it rot? By refusing to obey my words, walkingness and stubbornness of heart, following strange gods to serve and adore them. What happens when that occurs is that it becomes like loincloth, good for nothing. He had made the whole house of Israel cling to him like loincloth clings to man's loins. In order to be his people, his renown, his praise, his beauty. But they didn't listen. They forgot the God who gave them birth. For us, the key is that we make sure that we unite ourselves to the Lord in the little things of every day. Obviously in our prayer and in the Mass, but then in day-to-day action, in the way that we love and forgive, in the way that we sacrifice and patiently bear with others. Fulton J. Sheen used to say that there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. We either are going uphill or we're sliding downhill. We're the same as we were last week, last month, last year. We're actually corroding, not growing. Because the way the kingdom works is when we're consciously and repeatedly uniting ourselves to the Lord, there is growth there. We may not see it, but there is growth there. While other things around us may be withering, the Lord may be perfecting us, just like Christ was being perfected by his obedience through suffering, but the growth will happen. We see these lessons portrayed in the saint the blessed that we have the chance to celebrate today for the first time, Blessed Solanus Casey. He came from a home in which faith was treasured, which the kingdom grew like that mustard seed or like that leaven. More and more children came from their parental love. They prayed together in that hard-working farming family. Eventually, young Bernard Francis discovered that he had a priestly vocation. He was told after making a novena to Mary to go to Detroit. That meant to join the Capuchins after he couldn't make it in Diocesan Seminary because of his failure to really master German. How idiotic sometimes we can be. So he was booted. But he continued to grow through those sufferings. He again was almost dismissed because of his failure to learn German. But he had a prescient formator who knew the story of the Corrie of Ars, and how, with a heart that is truly living in the kingdom, the Christ the King can do the rest. That's precisely what had occurred with him. Even though he was ordained just a priest simplex, a priest with the capacity only to celebrate Mass, not to hear confessions, basically not to preach except on rare occasion, his ministry was incredibly fruitful. And it was exercised even here, in Yonkers, in Lower East Manhattan, in Harlem, eventually back in Brooklyn, Huntington, Indiana, for most of his life in Detroit, that his particular faith drew so many to the Lord. Came to talk to him about their problems, came to talk to him about their needs and their hungers. And he taught them to have incredible confidence in God. This one simple man's faith strengthened the faith of multitudes. how incredible it was to be present last November 17th, 18th, 18th at Ford Field in Detroit, when 71,000 people came to be moved to imitate his charity, his hope in divine providence, his humility. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we remember what happens in every Mass. God plants himself in a tiny way into the soil of our hearts. Even if we've got just this tiny littlest piece of the Holy Eucharist, God comes inside, the creator of the universe, and he begins to expand, provided that we continue to cooperate with his love. He makes himself even more intimate to us than our underwear. Let us let him grow.